Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Mayor de Blasio's first snowstorm, Mayor de Blasio's first firestorm. We'll see how he's handling the weather and weathering the criticism still coming in over remarks made by speakers at his inauguration. We'll check in on day three of the Affordable Care Act, covering millions more people with health insurance. For example, do enough doctors in the tri-state area accept Medicaid to treat all the new enrollees? Clyde Haberman today as he leaves the New York Times after 37 years. Should Edward Snowden get whistleblower protection if he returns to the United States? New arguments that he should, coming from the left and the right. And Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Goes Dark on Broadway tomorrow. We'll review its expensive and troubled history with Spider-Man playwright Glenn Berger, who co-wrote the musical and now has a book about it. All that coming up. But first, let's get the latest on what you need to know about the weather and the conditions out there with Sotirios Johnson. Sotirios, what's happening?
Well, Brian, the New York City metropolitan area got between 6 and 11 inches of snow. The National Weather Service says flurries or light snow could continue until midday today, but no additional accumulations expected. Central Park recorded 6 inches of snow. Elsewhere in the city, Ozone Park, Queens got 10 and a half inches. Parts of Long Island got as much as 11 inches of snow. The Weather Service says temperatures will rise during the day to about 18 degrees, but wind chills will remain below zero throughout the day. Wind gusts on Long Island were 30 to 40 miles per hour. Elsewhere, they were in the 25 to 30 mile per hour range. There are a number of service changes on the subways this morning. The MTA reports 6 and L train delays. 7 train service has resumed with residual delays following an earlier incident at Fifth Avenue. Newark Airport says passengers are experiencing delays of 15 minutes or less because of a traffic management program, which is also affecting departures. Flights have been suspended at Kennedy Airport because of high winds and visibility issues. If you're planning on heading to any airport to catch a flight or pick someone up today, you really should call ahead of time to make sure that the flight's going to leave or arrive. And the Long Island Expressway has reopened. New York State Thruway as well reopened to passenger vehicles between Albany and New York City at 5 this morning. It then opened to commercial vehicles at 8. And I-84 between Pennsylvania and Connecticut also reopened to commercial and passenger vehicles this morning. Governor Cuomo had, of course, closed those roadways to all traffic last night.
What was the trouble on the L train and the number 6? Do you know?
I believe it was switch problems. They were having switching problems with those lines, and they had to deal with that and get the trains running again.
So delays, but those lines are running,
yeah,
as far as we know.
Generally, mass transit is actually, you know, performing fairly well considering the conditions. I mean, there have been some service changes and some delays, but things are actually moving.
And that, of course, is what the officials were suggesting as of last night, that people plan to use mass transit if you have to go anywhere today, not use the roads. Very prudent decisions to close the Thruway for a while, now reopened, as you say, close the LIE in advance of what was coming. Slowly, things are getting back to normal. Any more accumulation expected, or are these totals you're giving us supposed to be it?
Well, they're unofficial totals at this point, but the Weather Service is basically saying they're not expecting any more accumulation. So whatever we have on the ground at this point, there'll be some flurries. But as far as accumulations go, I think that's it.
It was just enough snow at just the right time of the day to cancel school.
Yes,
right?
It was.
My deal with my son was I would wake him up before I came into work if there was school. But if he woke up later and I wasn't there, then he would know there was no school.
That's a sweet deal.
So that was the good news for a lot of kids and teachers and principals and others around the area today. If this was, you know, later today that it started, they might not have canceled school.
Right.
Or if it was going to end at 3 in the morning instead of 9 in the morning, they might not have canceled school. But
it's a good deal if you're a student.
Good way to start the new year. One day of school after Christmas break and then a three-day weekend.
That's right.
So Tyrius will check in with you later.
Thanks, Brian.
And we are crowdsourcing this snow day in a number of ways. Post your report of how deep the snow is in your area and how well your street has been plowed at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Also, we're collecting your sledding photos and 6-second sledding videos. We're using Instagram and the social media video site Vine for this. Tag your sledding photos and videos, NYC Sledding, if you post one. Well, this is the third day that Affordable Care Act health policies are in effect. They're still counting how many Americans are now insured compared to before. But one thing is very clear. Millions more Americans are now covered by Medicaid, government health insurance for the poor, in addition to the private plans. It's easier to qualify for Medicaid than it used to be in states that signed up for the expansion, including New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. You can have a little more income than before and still get Medicaid. But an emerging question is whether Medicaid patients will find enough doctors to treat them. For example, a statistic published in the journal Health Affairs said more than 50% of New Jersey primary care physicians have not been taking new Medicaid patients the last few years, compared to just a third not accepting them nationwide. And a new study in the journal Science finds that when Oregon expanded its Medicaid rolls a few years ago, emergency room use went up. It was predicted to go down as more people gained access to primary care physicians in their regular offices, and that's supposed to save money for everybody. So let's take stock here on Affordable Care Act Day 3 with WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul, who was also a Kaiser Health Fellow. Is that the right title, Fred?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And WNYC's Jessica Gould, who has reported on the New Jersey Medicaid story. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Brian.
And our first call in here will be for doctors. Doctors, if you're listening right now, do you take a snow day, physicians? But seriously, do you accept Medicare? Do you accept Medicaid? Why or why not? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For doctors, do you accept Medicare, which of course is government insurance for the elderly? Do you accept Medicaid, which is government insurance for the poor? Why or why not? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call us up or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. First, Fred, do we know how many new Medicaid enrollees there are in the tri-state area?
About the whole area, I've got New York pretty well figured out. We have in Medicaid, it's about 60,000 people between October and December 24th, the deadline. So they project over 3 years, there'll be about 470,000 people coming into the Medicaid system in New York. New Jersey is a much smaller state, obviously, but they have in certain regards a bigger expansion. So probably regionally, just to guess, somewhere between 500,000 and a million new people across the tri-state area.
A bigger expansion potentially in Medicaid in New Jersey, even though it's a smaller state, because New York's Medicaid was already more generous and included more people than most of the country, right?
Right. We accepted people that didn't have children, childless adults, in order to get Medicaid in New Jersey, you had to basically be children are pretty generous all around, but for adults, it was more family oriented. And now, single adults or childless adults can have them in New Jersey.
And in New Jersey, Jessica, are there early numbers?
Well, what we know is that 235,000 people are expected to be eligible for Medicaid in the year to come.
And how much do Medicaid and Medicare reimburse doctors, Fred, compared to private health insurance plans? And is it a bigger gap in New Jersey than elsewhere?
That is an excellent question, Brian. It's not one. Maybe we'll get a doctor caller to help that out. Obviously, doctors always say they get less than they put into it, whether it's private insurance or Medicare or Medicaid. Medicaid is notoriously frugal. Medicare is a little better. But that being said, certain doctors in certain settings actually get very generous Medicaid reimbursement, if you can believe that. The clinics, the federally qualified healthcare clinics, often because they provide more inclusive service for patients, they get a much better reimbursement rate. But private doctors, much less.
So doctors, call us up and tell us what that is like for you if you work in one of those clinics or if you're in more of a private practice. And do you accept Medicaid and do you accept Medicare? And why or why not? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's go first to William in the Bronx. William, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Are you a physician?
Yeah, I'm a family doctor in the Bronx.
And where do you practice and do you take Medicaid?
I work at a clinic on 193rd near Fordham University, and definitely we take Medicaid. It's a federally qualified health center, so we get enhanced reimbursement for Medicaid patients.
Can you put some more meat on those bones statistically? I don't expect that you would know what every other doctor in the world gets. But since Fred was also indicating this, that the reimbursements are better for the kinds of facilities that you work in than maybe for some other private doctors, what are we talking about, for example, for what kinds of services compared to what other doctors may be able to get reimbursed for?
I don't know the exact figures because I'm a salaried employee rather than somebody operating the practice. But, you know, I think it's in the neighborhood of more than $100 per visit versus, you know, somewhere like $40 to $60 per visit. So it's a pretty substantial bump. And the reason behind that is that we provide a lot of enhanced services, you know, including mental health services and, you know, podiatry, cardiology, different things at our clinic that aren't available at a usual storefront clinic.
I know it's just January 3rd, but are you able to get any sense yet that more people in the Bronx or the Bronx neighborhood where your clinic is will actually be insured under Medicaid and therefore able to access your services?
I have to say we already had more patients than we could manage. New York is pretty generous in terms of its Medicaid, and it has been historically, so even before the Affordable Care Act. So we always had more patients than we could handle. I'm hopeful, though, that with the increase in Medicaid reimbursement rates, it's supposed to rise to match Medicare reimbursement, that more doctors will take Medicaid patients in addition to federally qualified health centers.
William, thank you very much for calling in, and good luck with your practice.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Now, he mentioned the difference between Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements, and I'm going to go right to another caller who I think is another physician calling to say something about that very point. Joan in the East Village. Joan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. No, actually, I'm not a doctor, but I have researched fees.
Okay.
And I know what the fee is on Medicaid, and when you hear it, you will not believe it, but you will understand exactly why doctors don't accept it. Medicare, I think, pays about $135. What Medicaid pays to a private doctor is $39, $100 less.
You're talking about for a standard office visit?
Yeah.
$39 versus yes. $135.
Exactly. And that's why doctors do not accept it. They have not accepted it for 30 or 40 years. And, you know, I'm glad some attention is being paid to this. No attention has been paid to it for years. But
all this churn with the Affordable Care Act is bringing all of these things above the surface into the public conversation. So, Joan, thank you for that. Jessica Gould, anything from your reporting on New Jersey that bears out that ratio more or less?
Yeah, New Jersey is known to be one of the lowest reimbursement rates for Medicaid. And a doctor I spoke to in North Newark said that he gets about $25 for a Medicaid visit when private insurance would pay about $100. And so that's a big deterrent for a lot of doctors in New Jersey.
So why is this? Is it because the poor as a group are not as politically powerful as senior citizens as a group who get Medicare?
That's a good question, but it's going to change. For the first 2 years of the Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid reimbursement rates will be raised to the Medicare rates. So that's supposed to sweeten the deal for more people to come in and take Medicaid patients. The question is, what's going to happen after those first 2 years?
So this is a temporary bump, Fred, and this is a nationwide bump, and we're going to see federal reimbursements go from things like $25 or $35 up to $100 or $135?
Well, I think in the private setting that we're talking about, the office setting we're talking about, obviously, as we're hearing, it's take a lot to get those doctors to accept it. I don't know how much that will succeed, and I don't know how much, as we're finding out, really that the system is really set up to deal with a lot of private doctors. You have to really want to be serving those communities and serving it in that setting rather than in a clinical setting. It could just be that the FQHCs, the federally qualified health centers, will have to expand. They are getting more money to do so, and they will serve most of the Medicaid population as they have been.
Fred, that first doctor who called in from the clinic in the Bronx mentioned that he's on salary, not accepting fees individually for each service or, you know, treatment or test or whatever. Is that the model that we're moving toward? Is that the model that the Affordable Care Act is in part designed to make us move toward, so there isn't a particular incentive for giving more tests, for giving more treatments, and this is going to make the Affordable Care Act work to make care more affordable?
Well, there are a lot of different pieces in that. There are a lot of different settings where healthcare takes place. Clinics like that are frequently salary. They're almost all salary oriented, and that's because they're working with the sort of integrated model like he talked about, and that's why they're getting that enhanced Medicaid rate. Private doctors will not go away, but they will continue to serve the insured population. Many don't accept any insurance whatsoever, of course, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, or private. In mental health, very, very few private physicians take insurance at all. So there are these parallel universes, and I think, yes, the clinics will be – you'll see more salaried if they're not completely already. Hospitals gradually are going that way. The multi-specialty practices are growing a lot, and many of them are being folded into hospitals. We'll see how those go with salaries.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC as we talk about the Affordable Care Act Day 3, particularly the large number of new Medicaid enrollees in the tri-state area and nationwide, with WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul and WNYC's Jessica Gould, who's reported on the potential crisis, and your story used that word, crisis, in supply and demand. Will there be enough doctors in New Jersey who even accept Medicaid at all to treat all these new enrollees? And we're taking calls from doctors. Do you accept Medicaid? Do you accept Medicare, which is health care for the elderly, of course? Why or why not in each case? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Irving in New Brunswick. You're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. My name is Irving Kaufman. I'm a family doctor. I'm the chairman of our family medicine department at St. Peter's Medical Center in New Brunswick, and I also have a private practice that's gone for about 25-plus years. And in our practice, we've always accepted Medicare because I felt the need to help the elderly out, and we accept whatever Medicare pays as our reimbursement, and it's an okay reimbursement. Used to be less than the private insurers, and now a lot of private insurers are using Medicare sometimes as the baseline. And we also always accepted Medicaid on our own patients that flipped into Medicaid if they had a turn for the worse financially. We signed up, and it wasn't automatic. We had to sign up for that enhanced reimbursement for the Medicaid to be reimbursed at Medicare rates, and that's a good thing. So we're getting more income from that. And although we don't officially take new Medicaid patients on January 1st, I had a patient that I've never seen before with New Jersey Medicaid come in with a gallbladder problem, or rather, it was just they actually, it was Christmas Day. So her name's on my card. I happily took care of her in the hospital and got her gallbladder out, and she'll be following up in the office. So I'm not quite sure how many new Medicaid patients we're going to be getting with the Affordable Care Act. There's a lot of confusion out there at this time. And even some of my seniors with the managed care Medicare, they were dropped by one. They signed up with another one, and they're not sure about their insurance. They don't have their cards yet. But we're just taking care of people and worry about the reimbursement later.
Doctor, is it your sense that with this enhanced reimbursement for Medicaid that we were discussing and that it sounds like your practice was able to sign up for, that the shortage in New Jersey of doctors who take Medicaid might be eased because a lot of your colleagues in the medical profession may now rush to sign up because they can get reasonably reimbursed by the federal government, just as all these new patients are enrolled?
Yeah, the deadline to sign up has kind of passed already. So those who have signed up have done it, and you can check the statistics on that from whoever's in charge of that.
Right.
But I would think it would slightly increase the number of private docs that take Medicaid, but not by very much, because a lot of people are worried that what if I get all these people and in 2 years my reimbursement goes down? And then there's the fear that your office or clinic will be loaded with patients and you won't have the staff to take care of everyone. So it's a little bit scary from the primary care point of view. and there aren't enough family docs. The number of docs retiring is going, is going down. You know, more are retiring and less are coming to practice in our area. They're all going into much higher payer urgent care centers or clinics that pay, you know, more than the traditional family doctor makes. And lastly, in our department, we have about 10 or 15% of docs that don't take any insurance. About 50%, I would say, take Medicare, and participate. And about the other 40% participate in Medicare, but as non-par. So the people have to pay them, and they get reimbursed by the government.
Mm-hmm. Fred, you have a...
Yeah, doctor, I wonder if you could talk to the landscape for specialist referrals, because it's my sense it's especially bleak, depending on the specialty. But overall, in New Jersey, primary care is challenging enough, but when you need to send your patients on for specialty care, maybe kind of go around the horn with some of the cardiac, oncology, and some different things that are going on there.
Yeah, in New Jersey, we have about three or four companies doing the Medicaid. Like Horizon, and maybe, I don't remember the other ones, AmeriChoice, whatever. So sometimes if they're in that network, they will find it. It's almost impossible to find an orthopedic doctor that takes anything, although there's one large group in Princeton that takes all the Horizons, and they've got that little network. And there's one group on the Jersey Shore. So they've taken all the Horizon patients, and including the Horizon Medicaids, I believe. But it's very hard to find any private orthopedic doc that takes any insurance anymore because their reimbursements have gone down. Surgeons aren't too hard to find, general surgeons and things, and the oncology groups for things, for hematology, oncology things. We have good resources for that. So I would say dermatology. There's clinics, and again, if they're in a network, they will frequently take the Medicaid network. So it's better than when it was straight Medicaid. But it's hard to find specialists at times, and I usually just make a phone call to a colleague and ask for a favor.
Irving, thank you very much for chiming in. We really appreciate all the insight that you gave us from your practice and what you know of your colleagues. Fred Mogul?
Yeah, and what the doctor was referring to, I think, is important for people to keep in mind, because we've been saying Medicaid, but almost all of it is through private insurance companies. They're called Medicaid managed care companies. That's what he was referring to when he said Horizon, which is the Blue Cross program in New Jersey, and they have a private insurance and they have a Medicaid program. So that is how it's set up, and they do have networks, and they're slightly different networks, or very different networks, for their private pay or employer-based insurance products and their Medicaid managed care products.
So, Jessica Gould, the stat that I mentioned in the journal Health Affairs, that more than 50% of New Jersey primary care physicians have not been taking new Medicaid patients the last few years, compared to just a third not accepting them nationwide. Why would it be different state to state?
Well, one reason, I believe, and Fred, you can confirm this for me, is that the reimbursement rates are different state to state. Is that true?
There are economic adjustments, and they're supposed to compensate for a high cost area, but there's widespread complaining that they never fully compensate for being in a
so this is up to Governor Christie and the legislature, how much doctors get reimbursed for Medicaid services in New Jersey compared to other states.
I think most of those multipliers, I could be wrong about this, come from CMS, the federal Medicaid agency.
So here's a question, and this is a challenge to everybody in a way. Why not require doctors to accept all plans, or at least require them to accept a certain number of Medicaid and Medicare patients, or percentage of Medicaid and Medicare patients, in exchange for their government-issued licenses to practice as part of a basic social contract?
Well, that's an interesting proposition. I mean, it depends on who they are and how they see their mission. Many do see their mission as providing a public good, but many others see themselves as providers of a retail service. They're a for-profit operation. You could make the case perhaps more clearly in the defined charitable world, in the world of hospitals, where they are invariably, particularly in New York, they are invariably nonprofit. New Jersey does have for-profit hospitals.
Medical care is not like selling socks, I would argue. If we want to say some people just see themselves as providers of a retail service.
The doctor that I spoke to, Dr. Tom Ortiz in Newark, said that when he began his practice many years ago, he did so in North Newark to serve the population there, partially because he had a scholarship to med school that required him to give back to the community. And then that scholarship, he said, went away during the Reagan administration. So it's a question of also incentivizing people to serve these communities. And one of the federal officials I talked to said that they are doing that, that they are putting in tuition assistance for people going into the healthcare field to increase the amount of specialists and providers who are out there to work with these patients.
Alan on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Alan, hi.
Hi, how are you? Your show provides great service in so many areas, and I want to thank you for that. I'm a listener as I travel between my various hospitals.
Thank you, sir.
Always. I am a I kind of have a foot in a couple of different worlds. I am the chief of pulmonary and critical care at the largest group practice in New York State. We have pushing about 1,000 doctors, and I also am a professor professor of medicine at the local medical school and involved in teaching residents and fellows. So that's my
great
other foot.
So do you take Medicaid as well as Medicare and private insurance?
We take Medicare. We do not at this point take Medicaid. And I would say that myself and most of the people I work with do not view ourselves as primarily as businessmen. We do view ourselves as people who provide, I mean, that's our concept of ourselves, providing public good. But the problem with Medicaid up to this point, and I hope with the Affordable Care Act there will be change in and there probably will be. The problem is that, and it's been well documented, that the payment for the services is below the cost of delivering the services. So even when if you make that choice, you're doing it as a choice, I'll call it a charitable choice.
But it's outrageous then as a system, isn't it? If you are working for one of the major practice groups on Long Island and you can't, without losing money, provide services to one of the major population groups of Long Island, people on Medicaid, then there's something wrong with the system, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that needs to change. My understanding is that the Affordable Care Act will, by providing subsidies to people to either to buy private insurance or enroll in Medicaid, and with my understanding of the law is that it's moving toward parity. Medicaid will move towards parity with Medicare in terms of reimbursement.
Then right, and our guests, our reporters from the WNYC newsroom covering this have been describing in this segment this temporary, at least, parity that's supposed to take place. So have you, as your group, considered starting to take Medicaid patients by enrolling for that parity with Medicare reimbursement that apparently the federal government is offering?
And when that happens, we have financial people who are constantly monitoring those matters. Mm-hmm. When that happens, I don't think there will be any problem in bringing them treating them like any other patient. I don't think there's any discrepancy or feeling of negativity about Medicaid. In fact, they kind of changed the names so that when you actually look at the cards, it'll say this health, that health, healthy New York. You can't tell what's Medicaid and what's not Medicaid. It's really just about paying at least for the cost of delivering the services.
So let me put you on the spot in one other way. Is this whole conversation, in a way, an argument for single payer? Then every patient would be in the same plan, and every doctor would be in plan for every American. And this two-tier, three-tier, four-tier unequal medical system that we have in terms of who has access and what doctors get reimbursed how much would, you know, be straightened out in at least one certain way.
Well, myself, and I'm not going to say all the people I work with, but many of the people I work with, both physicians, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, would have preferred a single payer system for the reasons that you describe, but also because the current system is so complicated and so difficult to navigate, even for people. I'm talking about non-physicians, people whose job it is to navigate it. And figure it out and figure it out. It is so complicated that it really does a disservice both to the entire to both the providers and the patients who need the care. It takes enormous amounts of resources. I'm not even talking about delivering the care. I'm talking about figuring out what the route to get care is, how to get a particular drug. It reminds us of the old, we always joke about the old New York State Motor Vehicle Bureau in, 30 years
ago. And Alan, I'm going to leave it there.